Ralph Schoenman.
And Maya Schoen, coming to you Tuesday, January 20th, 2004. Well, we are here today during the WBAI Fund Drive with a preview of our premium, Treason at the Top. Treason at the Top is a special lecture that Ralph and I gave in Vallejo to a large audience last April. This is the first time you will have heard Treason at the Top. It's been edited and prepared into a special 2-CD, almost 3-hour program, and it's available for your gift, your donation to WBAI for $100. Treason at the Top. Very special. Also, I'd like to tell you at the beginning of the show that next week, next Tuesday, we'll be on for 3 solid hours from 9 p.m. until midnight, East Coast time. So set your clocks, put it in your notebooks, remember your dateline. Next Tuesday, instead of from 5 to 6, we're going to be on from 9 until midnight. An opportunity for you to hear more of Treason at the Top and our valuable discussion. Well, we consider it valuable, and I know you do too, because so many of you respond to supporting WBAI when we offer our Taking AIM premiums. And again, Treason at the Top is something that you're not going to hear on Taking AIM or find available in bookstores or anywhere else. So remember, $100 donation to the valuable WBAI, and our gift to you is Treason at the Top. 2 CDs packed full of information about the use of biological and chemical weapons by the U.S. ruling class to its assault on the gains of the workers. What we do is discuss the dynamics of war and of repression, particularly the assault against Iraq and the repression here at home. Ralph?
Well, there's a very interesting relationship, of course, as we continually try to elucidate on on Taking AIM, between the oppression and repression of our population at home and imperialist aggression overseas. They've been intimately linked in the history of the United States, and I think it's appropriate, Maya, as we encourage our listeners to support Free Speech Radio and Taking AIM and to order our premium, I think it's appropriate that we relate this to the significant event of the anniversary of the birthday of Martin Luther King. Yesterday, Martin Luther King's birthday, Gerald Sanders and I, Gerald Sanders, a founding member of the Black Panthers and a trade union activist and electrician and one of the key organizers of the campaign in defense of Mumia Abu-Jamal, Gerald and I were addressing an audience in our own town, Vallejo, at a meeting of the NAACP on the implications of the anniversary of the birthday of Martin Luther King and the relevance of this to what we're discussing today in Treason at the Top. Is the documentation of the government's role, notably that of military intelligence, in the murder of Martin Luther King, a murder that was precipitated by his open opposition to the war in Vietnam at that time, the mobilization of a Poor People's March in Washington, and the linking of the struggle against poverty and exploitation in the United States with the fight against U.S. imperial adventurism and oppression overseas. Execution was the response of the gangster state. The repression in our society today is linked inextricably to that same dynamic of exploitation at home and imperial aggression overseas.
And this we discuss at length and with great detail in Treason at the Top. We're going to play from the beginning of the first CD, which has the first part of Ralph's presentation. His presentation, remember, after the bombardment in Iraq. And in this, he discusses the weapons of mass destruction. Weapons of mass destruction that have been used by U.S. rulers throughout our history. So, Michael, if you can start the first CD, this is Treason at the Top. And remember, this can be yours. So keep dialing the WBAI number, 212-209. Oops, all of a sudden, Michael, you have to help me out.
209-2950.
Right. I was going to give our Taking AIM number, 209-2950. And keep the phones ringing while we begin Treason at the Top.
Good evening. Hello, and thank you for coming tonight. My name is Doug McDonald. I'm one of the co-founders of the Solano Peace and Justice Coalition. And I'd like you to thank you for coming to tonight's forum with Ralph Shulman and Maya Schoen. Tonight's presentation is entitled Treason at the Top, The Dynamics of War and Repression at Home and Abroad, and Your Civil Rights. Ralph Shulman was Secretary General of the International Tribunal on U.S. War Crimes in Indochina. He worked with Malcolm X with respect to the battle for the Congo and has negotiated the release of political prisoners in many countries. Today, he is an author and investigative journalist and produces Taking AIM with co-producer Maya Schoen, heard weekly on Pacifica Radio's WBAI in New York City. Maya Schoen is an economist and has a long history as an activist involved in political, community, and labor issues. Among her activities over the years, she's worked closely with both Casa Nicaragua and Casa El Salvador during the struggles taking place in Central America. Was the coordinator of the Tri-County, Santa Barbara, Ventura, and San Luis Obispo Labor Party chapter, and was a founder and on the steering committee of Healthcare for All California. Again, thank you for coming and enjoy the evening. And with that, I will introduce Ralph Shulman.
Thank you very much, Doug. I want to express our appreciation to Doug McDonald and to the Solano Committee on Peace and Justice for giving us the opportunity to talk to you tonight. And I appreciate all of your coming out. I hope we'll have an exchange, a good discussion. What we want to address here is the underlying circumstances and dynamics of this but little continuation of a long-standing practice and policy of imperial plunder and devastation on the part of those who hold power in this society. I think it's important that we understand that whether we look at the war that's now devastating the poor and small country of Iraq, the impoverished people of that country that has been so afflicted by imperialism for more than 100 years, a people that lives in the countryside on 30 cents a day, those who work for public service and for the government work for $5 a month, which is 17 cents a day, a desperately poor people, a people long victimized, with a very specific history in relation to both U.S. and before it British imperialism. But we in our own society have a structure of power. And I think in order for us to see the context in which these events unfold, tragic as they are, devastating as they increasingly will be, it's necessary for us to see who rules in this country, what it's about. The Department of Commerce in the United States had published statistics that show that about 2% of our population owns and controls some 90% of the national wealth. And in November of last year, the New York Times ran a piece in which that data was shown to be no longer accurate. The figure now is about 1% owning 95% of the national wealth. They average about 14 corporate directorships per person. The man who had written the book Up the Organization, Robert Townsend, who was the president of Avis and American Express, put it like this. He calculated that approximately 5,000 people control what he called the commanding heights of the United States economy. Now, this is an extraordinary concentration of power. This is a tiny oligarchy that uses its vast control over the national wealth to capture the political process, the one big property party with two names that is financed by the same people repeatedly ad infinitum. And bear in mind, brothers and sisters, that we in our own frontiers have but 5% of the world's population. And yet, this small oligarchy, this ruling class, has command over nearly 70% of the natural resources of the world. By any standard, this is an empire. So imperialism is a specific sociological category. It's not a swear word. It's not a piece of rhetoric. It's a description, a scientific description of the structure of power in our society. And as such, this tiny ruling class requires increasingly a dependence upon arms production, addicted to that arms economy like an addict to his fix, and in ever-increasing doses. In just the past 40 years, $9.3 trillion assigned to the Pentagon. Now, that is more than the combined value of everything produced in this country taken together. Schools and roads and sewers and hospitals, everything together of productive value does not in total equate with the amount of waste production that goes through this arms economy. That is the context. That is the underlying dynamic which requires such wars of predation. As you know, the rationale for this current war against the people of Iraq is the rubric of weapons of mass destruction. In the first 41 days of the Gulf War in 1991, the United States used more tonnages and greater firepower on that country than in the total period of World War II in all theaters taken together. And that represented approximately 300 cruise and Tomahawk missiles. And these people have been telling us, these rulers of ours, that in the first 48 hours of shock and awe, they were going to visit what? Three times that amount of destruction on this small country. Every single missile, every artillery shell, every tank barrage, every bullet is coated with a substance called depleted uranium. In essence, these are tactical nuclear weapons, because when detonated, the depleted uranium, which is one of the hardest metals on Earth, is radioactive and permeates the aquifer and permeates the soil and permeates the food chain and has resulted in an epidemic of thalidomide-like deformities across Iraq, as it had indeed in Yugoslavia and in the Balkans. Weapons of mass destruction. There is a very particular history about the use of biological and chemical agents, which have been long monopolized by the United States. Doug had mentioned that I had worked as the Secretary General of the International Tribunal on U.S. War Crimes in Indochina. Bertrand Russell was the honorary president, Jean-Paul Sartre, the executive president, and a wide range of people who were active politically, intellectually at the time, presided over that inquiry. We documented across Indochina the use of gases that exploded the pupil of the eye, the introduction of plague bacteria, a focus and a panoply of biological and chemical and nerve agents that the United States deployed in Indochina. And only last week, the New York Times on its front page carried a story that this current generation of children in Vietnam is suffering from an epidemic of deformities directly related to the Agent Orange and the other biological and chemical agents that have permeated the soil and the food chain and the atmosphere and have now come to wreak their havoc upon the current generation of children in Indochina. Weapons of mass destruction. A research group called BioConop obtained declassified documents from the United States government which have to do with the history of the use of germ warfare by U.S. rulers. I'm going to give a quick resume of this because I think it puts in context this entire rationale for this devastating war that's being inflicted on the people of Iraq. In 1900, U.S. doctors in the Philippines infected Filipino insurgents and prisoners with the plague. They induced beriberi in prisoners. In 1915, doctors introduced pellagra in Mississippi inmates. In 1931, the Puerto Rican cancer experiment was undertaken by Dr. Cornelius Rhodes under the auspices of the Rockefeller Institute for Medical Investigation. Dr. Rhodes infected his subjects with cancer cells, and multiples died. When the experiments were disclosed, The written opinions of Rhodes were as follows. The Puerto Rican population should be eradicated, he stated, on the record. Rhodes went on to establish the United States Army biological warfare facilities in Maryland, Utah, and Panama. He was named to the United States Atomic Energy Commission, and was the heart of radiation experiments that were carried out by the United States government on prisoners, hospital patients, and soldiers. In 1932, the Tuskegee syphilis study, 200 poor black men with syphilis, began a long-term experiment in which these men were to be studied. They were never told not only of their illness, but that the study itself was involved in further infecting the men themselves. The government office supervising this was the predecessor to today's Center for Disease Control. In the 1940s, in a crash program to develop drugs during World War II, doctors in the Chicago area and the U.S. federal direction infected hundreds of prisoners in Chicago with the disease. In 1950, the United States Navy sprayed clouds of infective bacteria over San Francisco. From 1950 to 1953, an array of germ warfare weapons were used against Korea. They released feathers with anthrax, fleas, and mosquitoes dosed with plague and yellow fever, and rodents infected with a variety of diseases. In another series of such experiments, the United States military released clouds of gas over six United States and Canadian cities. In 1955, the Tampa Bay area of Florida experienced a sharp rise in whooping cough, including multiple deaths after a Central Intelligence Agency test where bacteria were released from the Army's chemical and biological warfare arsenal released into the environment. From 1956 to 1958, the same phenomenon in Savannah, Georgia, and Avon Park, Florida. In 1965, a three-year study, prisoners at the Holmesburg State Prison in Philadelphia subjected to dioxin, the highly toxic chemical contaminant in Agent Orange. Lesions were neither treated, nor were the infected persons admitted to hospitals. 1966, the United States Army dispensed bacilli throughout the New York City subway system. 1968 to 1969, the Central Intelligence Agency experiment with poison in the drinking water in a number of cities across the United States. 1969, Dr. D.M. McCarter, Deputy Director of Research and Technology for the Department of Defense, appeared before the House Subcommittee on Appropriations to request further funding for projects for synthetic biological agents for which humans had not yet acquired a natural immunity. He then asked for a further $10 million to produce this agent within the next 5 to 10 years. AIDS first appeared as a public health risk 5 years after this funded activity. Richard Nixon was engaged in biological and chemical warfare agent production throughout his presidency. Ray Ravendut, the director of the Population Program of the U.S. Agency for International Development, announced the agency's goal to sterilize one quarter of the world's women. 1980-1981. Detention centers in Miami and Puerto Rico with male Haitian refugees injected with chemicals and biological agents, and a condition resulting called gynecomastia, in which males developed full female breasts. 1981, over 300,000 Cubans stricken with dengue hemorrhagic fever. An investigation by the Covert Action Information Bulletin tracked the documents in which Central Intelligence Agency operatives were systematically disseminating the viral agents for their impact in Cuba. 1982, El Salvadoran trade unionists stated that epidemics of unknown diseases had cropped up in all the areas where U.S.-directed aerial bombings were taking place. 1985, dengue fever strikes Managua, Nicaragua. 1987, the Department of Defense was forced by a lawsuit by a public interest group to reveal that it was operating chemical and biological warfare programs at 127 sites in the United States. in his book, Clouds of Secrecy. Leonard Cole, public health professor at Rutgers and formerly a director of the U.S. Biological Weapons Facility at Fort Detrick, documented what the New York Times acknowledged were, quote, 239 cities and locations in the United States, unquote, where the Pentagon over a period of 40 years released clandestinely hundreds of trillions of bacilli, bacteria, fungi, and spores. In his introduction to Clouds of Secrecy, the late Senator Alan Cranston acknowledged that over 10 million American citizens were affected. These biological agents were deployed by the Pentagon in the subway system of New York, the school systems of Minneapolis and St. Louis, and specifically in the Bay Area surrounding San Francisco and environs, where spinal and brain meningitis increased by tenfold as a consequence. And yet, not a day goes by when our rulers fail to declaim that demonic terrorists are preparing to release biological agents in our water supply, our nuclear power plants, and have spread everything from smallpox to anthrax. And I'm sure you'll recall when in the aftermath of 9/11, anthrax was being disseminated in the United States, and the established media were replete with accounts of how the spread of anthrax was indeed the consequence of terrorist activity in this country. The new scientist in London tracked the fingerprint, the DNA, the telltale characteristic of this particular anthrax, which was prepared in United States military laboratories. The fingerprint of military-produced anthrax available and accessible and prepared in military labs in this country.
You've been listening to the first portion of Ralph's more than one hour presentation at our lecture, Treason at the Top. Now, this comes from our archives, a good program for you to have never heard before on WBAI. And we want to thank right away Yara Mako and Bonnie Faulkner for having recorded and sound edited the program. Treason at the Top. For your donation to sustain WBAI, your donation of $100. Treason at the Top is a very high fidelity CD, two CD offering, our gift to you.
Well, Maya, I think it's important to mention that this particular talk was given in Vallejo, California, for the Community Labor Alliance with the support of the Labor Council in Solano and Napa County, and with the endorsement of the Solano Peace and Justice Committee. And it is a presentation that includes a detailed account of your own about the engines of repression and of the driving down of workers' living standards and gains in this society, and an extremely fruitful and productive exchange with the audience that went on for an hour and a half. Apropos this question of the use of biological agents by the United States.
Well, before you do that, let's remind people that the number to call is 212-209-2950. As you know, Ralph's going to go and give you some important information now to supplement what you've been hearing. And on Taking Aim, each week our programs are highly documented with source material that you can access yourself primarily on the Internet. And as well, as you know, we keep an archive of our programs. The ones that are up there date from August of 2002. And soon we'll have up there all the programs. We're entering our third year of Taking Aim. And Taking Aim wouldn't be on the air if it weren't for your generous contributions to WBAI, keeping WBAI sustained. Remember, I'll let Ralph talk if you keep those phones ringing and ringing with 212-209-2950. If you're listening on the Internet at www.bai.org, The premiums will be available on the internet. I don't know if they're up there yet. If not, please dial 212-209-2950. You're not going to hear programming like Treason at the Top anywhere else. Ralph?
Maya, I think people need to be able to address the question of weapons of mass destruction and who, the question really of who are the terrorists, after all. This entire false category of terror, which is the new rationale for ever-increasing military adventures abroad and military budgets at home, to be able to document that weapons of mass destruction, that biological agents, that chemical agents have been the weapon of choice of our rulers for the past 100 years, I think is extremely damaging to the credibility of the established order, and it arms people for struggle. It arms people for bringing along with us those who have yet to encounter the documented reality about how power works in this society. That's the essence of our programming, to put information at your disposal. It's not a question of quoting Ralph Schoenman or Maya Schoen or taking aim for that matter. We want to make this information your own. We want it integrated within your own understanding. We want it accessible to you. We want it documented for you. We want to arm our constituency for struggle so that we build a movement, an organized struggle to fight back. That's the essence of this programming. That's the burden of our research. That's the mission of Free Speech Radio. That's what we urge you to support.
And that's why we prepare special premiums available to you during these unique WBAI fund drives. And this one, Treason at the Top, looking at the dynamics of war and repression at home and abroad. Very timely that it's being played today because after taking aim, the State of the Union address comes on, delivered by President Bush, full of his lies, dissimulation about the state of America today and the activities of imperialism abroad. But here you get the real truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth on WBAI. 212-209-2950.
Maya, when it comes to the State of the Union, 60 cents out of every tax dollar to the Pentagon and less than a dime to health care. 3 cents for housing, and that's housing for the affluent. 2 cents of the tax dollar to schools of the affluent. Under a penny goes to generate employment and less to preserve the environment from pollution of our air, our water, our earth, from the subsidized toxins dumped by the very corporations who are parasites upon our national blood. And while they do this in America, a child dies of poverty every 50 minutes. Hundreds of thousands of children are homeless each night. 1 in 4 children in America goes to bed hungry and cold, without heat, without running water, without electricity, in rat-infested cages which pass for shelters in our cities. And one-third, one-half of our cities are dying slums. And not all our children are equally poor. 1 out of 7 white children are impoverished, but 1 out of 3 Latino children go hungry, and 1 out of 2 African-American young languish in poverty and despair. That is the state of our union under capitalism, that Taking Aim documents that Free Speech Radio brings to you. Put it into your information box to compare with the lies that the official propaganda instruments of capitalism will bombard us with this fake State of the Union message that we're going to listen to later tonight. But support this programming, support this radio, and build this struggle, brothers and sisters.
Treason at the Top. $100 donation to WBAI, 212-209-2950. And since this is a program that you're going to want to share with your friends and your family and your colleagues, have them help with the contribution. Make the pledge and round up a group of people to sustain it, to provide the funds for it. Remember, you are not alone with being the person who's going to listen to this. You're really going to want to share it with everyone. We know you do this. So 212-209-2950. We wouldn't be with you in your homes, in your cars, in your workplace, were it not for WBAI, for the valiant efforts of the staff and all of us who are unpaid producers at WBAI and all the other volunteers in the pledge room and everywhere else throughout the station. You, our listeners, you sustain WBAI and you sustain Taking Aim. 212-209-2950. This is WBAI 99.5 FM in New York and on the Internet at www.wbai.org. I want to remind all of you on the Internet that the WBAI website is an incredible avenue to other resources, not only information about WBAI and our specific programming, but information linkages to news and community activities. So check it out if you haven't. That's www.wbai.org. And also, while you're on the Internet, check out takingaim.info. Yes, .info, not .org, not .com, .info, providing you information and access to our archives. Again, 212-209-2950. Treason at the top, your generous donation of $100 to WBAI. And if any of you are in the position, we would appreciate a matching fund now or for our next 3 hour. Consider for our 3 hour show next week providing a matching fund, and I think we'll be able to meet that match. So consider that, 212-209-2950. It's a good time in the life of the station to help support it.
Well, I think it's worth mentioning to our listeners who have been generous in their support of our programming since we began that Taking AIM premiums have raised the most money of any premiums that have been on the station. Actually, notwithstanding programming that's on 5 days a week, which does valiantly in raising money, the premiums of Taking AIM have been the highest fundraising premiums of any on the station. We take great pride in that. We consider it a tribute to our audience, a tribute to our support, a measure of the dedication of our listeners, and we are proud of it, and we urge you to continue that support. One point about the use of biological weapons. You know, the Cheney gang that incarcerates our spirit and our minds in this society has been warning and threatening and terrorizing the American people with, and recently in a speech just 2 days ago that Cheney gave, that it's inevitable that there will be a massive attack with biological agents with the weapons of mass destruction in the United States. The first and most recent time that he sounded that alarm of the inevitability was in late October of last year. It's interesting to note that the Sunday Herald in London ran an article on October 30th of 2003 by Catherine List, Doomsday Fears Over New Pox Virus. UF scientists have genetically modified a virus from the smallpox family to create a super lethal strain as part of a program backed by the U.S. government. Dr. Mark Bulia of the University of St. Louis, who trained at Glasgow, told a New Scientist in London that his work was part of a program in the United States. This work creates huge risks, and the virus will present a serious threat to humans, not only in the United States, but across the world. Dr. Buller found the deadly form of mousepox, a relative of smallpox, was 100% lethal, even for those who are vaccinated. He has genetically altered the cowpox virus, capable of infecting a range of animals that includes human beings. The research suggests that even mild pox viruses are being turned into deadly weapons. Vaccines, the main defense against smallpox and its relatives, such as the monkeypox, which has created an outbreak in the United States, are no longer effective against these super viruses deployed as weaponry that are part of the American government's program. You may understand very clearly, brothers and sisters, who the real terrorists are, who their intended victims are, their deployment of this threat and this reality as a rationale for canceling elections, for imposing martial law, for militarizing our police, for installing the instruments of class rule that allow no longer for constitutional rights. That is the reality of this rule. That is the information that we document and provide. And that is the reason why Free Speech Radio, which exposes this, which alerts people and mobilizes them, is so essential.
I want to mention now, when you're talking about Free Speech Radio, WBAI, again, 212-209-2950. Treason at the Top, brought to you by Ralph Schoenman, Maya Schoen, Taking AIM. For you, our special premium $100 donation, two CDs. Now, March 20th is an important day to remember. There's going to be large demonstrations against the occupation of Iraq, bring the troops home, and against repression here in the United States. Repression here. And there have been many large anti-war demonstrations. All of us have been out time and time again. Resistance in our workplace, with our unions, resistance in mass mobilizations, and as we've been hearing on WBAI throughout the last couple of days, with the development of the civil rights movement, important resistance over the years. We're going to hear an excerpt from the second part of the presentation that was made by me that discusses the repressive apparatus in the United States, both economically, the diversion of funds from social services to the military-industrial complex for the staging of war, and also through the destruction of our civil liberties. So this is a portion that's midway through the talk. If you get Treason at the Top, you'll hear the full discussion, and that would be with your $100 contribution, 212-209-2950. Michael, are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm right here with you, listening and hanging on every word. I'm in here just chatting with our operations director, Peter Beauchamp, who makes many things happen here at the radio station.
Thank you, Peter. It is a
collective effort all around the producers, the paid and unpaid producers, the staff, and as well as the listeners, those of you who are listening to this program and have been listening since it started at 5 p.m. We do want to get back to the program content because we know that's what you're listening for, tuning in for. I just want to mention very, very quickly that the evening news will be coming up at 7 o'clock, excuse me, at 6 o'clock, at 7 o'clock, Tahrir, with Barbara Nimri Aziz, and then at 9 o'clock, a special edition of Jazz Sampler and Home Fries with Bill Farrar and Fred Hershkowitz. But right now, we are doing the Taking Aim. We're in the Taking Aim time. This is the time that we know that you are listening and you support this program at this time. So we're ready to go back to the program content, Maya and Ralph.
Remember, Treason at the Top, $100 contribution, 212-209-2950. Keep those phones ringing.
There was a battle in Seattle. That's what they called it. The battle in Seattle in December 1999. And this was mass mobilization in the streets against the plans of the World Trade Organization. And fundamental, if you look at the plans of the World Trade Organization, is the privatization of institutions so that government money is just a pass-through for greater profits for corporations. And at the time of this battle in Seattle, it turns out, according to the Seattle Weekly, December 23, 1999, a Justice Department revealed that the U.S. Army Delta Force, quote, operating under its cover name of Combat Applications Group, CAG, had been moved into Seattle a week before the protesters arrived. A week before. They were under the control, this U.S. Army Delta Force, Special Operations. They were under the control of the Joint Special Operations Command at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Delta Force, the special forces in Seattle to make sure that the protests did not escalate. We have this happening earlier than 1999. At the time of the Republican convention in 2000 in Philadelphia, there was a lot of dissent organized. It turns out that the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, which many of you consider as an agency that is meant to handle earthquakes, floods, hurricanes, natural disasters. But in fact, FEMA was originally the Federal Emergency Military Agency, and Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North was one of the authors of FEMA. But it sounds more innocuous if you say Federal Emergency Management Agency. But according to a FEMA document at the time of the Republican Convention, there was a 75-page operations manual with each page labeled for official use only. And this FEMA document described Operation Garden Plot. Operation Garden Plot, which is the plan for controlling with the military civil, what they call unsettling disturbances, which means dissent. And at the time of the Philadelphia, they surrounded Philadelphia with army troops, and they prepared hospitals for what they expected were going to be the casualties that they would create. Now, Garden Plot had been used before in 1992 at the time of the reaction to the acquittal of the police at the time of the beating of Rodney King. And troops were brought in to Los Angeles. People may not be aware of it. They may think of only National Guard. But in fact, federal troops, a joint task force, was created in Los Angeles. And the U.S. Forces Command in Atlanta assigned 2,023 troops from the 7th Infantry Division and 1,500 Marines from Camp Pendleton. What we have here are plans, and there are very detailed plans for what are called military operations other than war. And the official doctrine, the MOOTW, the recent description of this is dated June 1995. And this is an elaboration of using the military, not just the National Guard, not the SWAT teams only, not all the various police forces that have been created throughout the United States, but actually using the U.S. Army, Marines, Special Forces to control dissent, to control workers who might be shutting down production, to control anti-war movements that are growing and growing and take the streets. And it is elaborate, and it is connected to this Department of Homeland Security. But it is also connected at the same time. You may remember that on October 2nd of last year, it was created in the United States a Northern Command, a specific military Northern Command under the leadership of General Ralph E. Eberhardt, and it's based at Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado. And according to the Washington Post in November of 2001, the purpose of this Northern Command is, quote, to coordinate federal troops used in homeland defense, part of the broad reorganization that Pentagon officials say could change the force's primary mission from waging war overseas to patrolling at home. To patrolling at home. Northern Command, Garden Plot. operations other than war. But it doesn't end there. I'm sure everyone in this room is familiar with what is called the Patriot Act. Patriot. People spend time thinking up these things. To take legislation that takes away the basic freedoms for which people struggled to create with the Bill of Rights, because people must realize that the Bill of Rights is the result of a second American Revolution. The U.S. Constitution originally did not have the basic protections of freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, and all the other freedoms that we hold dear, and that we consider the basic rights, the fundamental rights of democracy here in the United States. If you read the Constitution, you see that it is basically set up to honor property rights throughout this country. And it was the struggle for the Bill of Rights and these basic freedoms that are whittled and destroyed, first step by step, and now grossly in this Patriot Act. Patriot Act that was voted in almost unanimously, Republican, Democrats alike, unanimously, and that took away basic rights, that enabled the FBI to tap phones, to monitor what you take out of the library, to arrest people, to declare them enemy combatants, U.S. citizens, to strip them of all their rights, to have lawyers, to know what they're accused of, to have the evidence in hand. This has been passed by the people who are supposed to be representing the people of the United States. This is an act that was passed by the Senate, by the House of Representatives. This was not imposed on the people of the United States by a dictator. These are laws that have been enacted by the very people that have been elected to represent people in the United States. As Ralph said so eloquently, the one big party of capital, with two names, the one big property party. They're not representing our interests. They are representing the interests of Lockheed Martin, of Northrop Grumman. They are representing the interests of Walmart, a company that is the largest company outside of the federal government. 1 million workers, non-union. Non-union and in poverty wages, and fires people if they so much as try to organize a union. This is what is represented by the people in Congress.
You've been listening to Treason at the Top, the presentation by me, Maya Schoen. This is a small excerpt. The presentation includes much information about the attack on our social gains and a systematic attack on our social gains. This is the second part. The first part was Ralph's presentation, which includes an analysis of the U.S. use of weapons of mass destruction and also an analysis of the dynamics of the assault against Iraq, the history and the meaning of who really is responsible for the devastation of this impoverished country, a country that's been made impoverished by colonial exploitation of Great Britain at first, and then through the terrible toll of the wars and the sanctions and the war again by the U.S. rulers. Now, the third part, we want to play a very small section from the Q&A so you can get a taste of what Treason at the Top has to offer you. $100 donation to WBAI to maintain your station, our station. That's $100 for Treason at the Top, two CDs, 212-209-2950. We want to play this small portion of the question and answers. There are many, many questions and answers. This is only one little question because it does respond to something that we are asked many, many times. And then we're going to be back to speak with you once again. Michael.
I'm just curious if you've ever been approached or intimidated by anybody in the government to try to discourage you from being as outspoken and honest as you are with the kind of information that you have.
I think everybody who's been in political life, as we have, is subject to the usual kinds of, you know, attacks and slanders and attempts to impugn. It reminds me of my old friend Jim Garrison, the former district attorney of New Orleans, who used to say, you tell it all as soon as you know it. It's actually the people who sit on this sort of information and keep it to themselves who are in greater jeopardy in terms of survival, as far as that goes. You tell it all as soon as you go out there with it, you mobilize around it, and that's both a responsibility, and in the final analysis, it puts me in mind, just to mention this, that when Malcolm X came back from his meetings in Africa, when he was in Accra in Ghana, in Dar es Salaam in Tanzania, and in Cairo, Malcolm had been poisoned in Accra and again poisoned in Cairo. He barely survived. And when he was in London, my close friend Kojo Amogadfri and I were driving Malcolm to the airport, and we were very concerned, and we were pleading with him to wear a bulletproof vest. And Malcolm said, bulletproof vests won't do. The task is to mobilize and to build a sustained movement and to create the organization that can continue it. So they cannot decapitate forever people who speak out, people who attempt to alert, and so on. And I think ultimately that is, it's only our unity, it's only our common effort, it's only our organizational struggles which protect individuals and prepare us to.
You're listening to Treason at the Top. Our gift to you for your generous donation to WBAI of $100, 212-209-2950. I want to remind you that next week we will not be on from 5 to 6. Instead, we're going to have a special 3-hour broadcast from 9 p.m. until midnight, which would be 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. here on the West Coast. So on the East Coast in the tri-state area, or if you're listening throughout the Eastern Seaboard by the internet, 9 p.m. until midnight next Tuesday, January 27th. We'll be with you for Treason at the Top. Once again, Ralph?
In regard to the repression that the rulers are preparing for us, the New York Daily News on November 23rd, 2003 ran an instructive story called The Real Life Matrix Will Be Monitoring You, a story by Madeline Baran. The Matrix has arrived, the most massive database surveillance program in history. The multi-state anti-terrorist information exchange will offer authorities expanding and extensive information on the minutest aspect of the lives of New Yorkers, more information than they'd ever expect, past addresses, phone numbers, marriage and divorce records, arrest records, real estate information, photographs of neighbors and business associates, car make, model, and color, hunting and fishing licenses, and even intimate conversations within the confines of your own apartment or bedroom. The database, created by Cyzint, a Florida high-tech company, provides law enforcement officials access to a centralized database which will comb through data of every person in the United States. They can locate all brown-haired males with a pilot's license living in Queens, and the article goes on. That is the third of the brave new world that this ruling class has in mind for us. This is a measure of the repression they intend. It's also a measure of the denial of our freedoms that will inflame ultimately the population of this country to fight back and resist. That's the purpose of this programming, brothers and sisters. That's the mission of Free Speech Radio, to alert our people, to mobilize them for the struggles that lie ahead of us.
As we presented in Testing the Waters, Military Rule in America, which was in two parts, and remember Buried Alive, Torture in America, about the prison industrial complex, specifically the isolation that's so many of up to 200,000 of Americans are suffering each day. And we're going to be returning to another part of torture in America with an analysis of the prison industrial complex, particularly the slave labor conditions in the prisons. But first, in order to do that, we need to sustain WBAI. Your $100 contribution, 212-209-2950, and we will have a gift for you, Treason at the Top. Now, other donations are important, too. Student membership, low-income membership, any offering that you can give to WBAI now while we're having the fund drive, or if you can make a monthly commitment, that will give WBAI the important sense of security of knowing how much income is coming in every month. As you know, WBAI doesn't take advertisements. Not like most radio stations, when Ralph is interviewed on another station, he can barely finish a thought. And you can imagine every 2-3 minutes they break in for a commercial. Now, this doesn't happen on WBAI. As you know, taking aim, we start at 5 o'clock. Except for a momentary station identification at the half hour, you have a solid hour, solid program of information and analysis without break. And at these moments when we have our fund drives, we have special programs for you.
Well,
now is the moment. 212-209-2950. We're going to be bidding you adieu.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing you next week.
For our three-hour special, brothers and sisters, bear in mind next week at, is it 9 o'clock?
9 o'clock
until
midnight.
3 hours of taking aim.
A late night for you folks there on the East Coast. And we promise you, we'll be keeping you up. You're not going to want to go to sleep. You're going to want to stay with us until midnight.
All right, Ralph and Maya, thank you very, very much. Sorry I had to interrupt you right at that particular juncture, but we're out of time. The evening news is upcoming momentarily, but right